studying different parts of the human body, I guess, and we see how those parts of the body of Christ, how we see Jesus, how we see God and his attributes and his characteristics displayed in those. And so last week, if you were here, we heard about the guts of God and the care and the compassion down into the very guts that Jesus had for us. And we see in Jesus' compassion and Jesus' love, we see the deep love of the Father and what he has for us. And tonight we're going to hear about the mouth of God, and as it's the word that God spoke through Jesus and from Hebrews. And so we're looking forward to that here as well. And as always, as it is, anytime we hear God's word preached and anytime we read it, we remember that this scripture is the word of God. We hear God speak when we read this word, and it is a powerful word. It is a life-changing word that we hear when we open scripture. And so we're looking forward to spending our time in that theme here this evening. A couple of just quick announcements. There is, don't forget to set your clocks ahead on Saturday night, Sunday morning, daylight savings. I feel like mostly nowadays that's kind of taken care of with cell phones, but for those of you that maybe are still going on your manual alarm clocks, don't forget to do that. And then also on Sunday, we are having a potluck here after the 11 o'clock service, and so make plans for that, and feel free to stick around. Maybe we'll use it as an excuse to celebrate daylight savings. That's probably the best excuse we have, other than to just enjoy being together as brothers and sisters in the Lord. And so if you're at all able to, we'd love to have you stick around for that time of fellowship after the 11 o'clock service on Sunday. One other thing I want to just mention for prayer, and many of you maybe aren't familiar with this family, but I'm sure that some are. One of the pastors in the AFLC in our denomination, his name is Greg Schramm. He was a pastor in Northwood for about 15 years and then in Thief River Falls for several years. His son, Joel, died tragically yesterday morning in Grand Forks. You maybe heard that there was a one-vehicle accident up there early yesterday morning, and so that was Greg's son, Joel, that passed away in that accident. So pray for the Schramm family. I think the services are going to be up in Oslo, Minnesota, this weekend, and so keep the Schramm family in your prayers in this difficult time. I think that's all I'm going to mention for announcements, and so let's open with a word of prayer. Lord, we do pray for the Schramm family, and God, it's heartbreaking to hear when these types of tragedies happen. Lord, I pray that you would comfort that family. I pray that you would be with all those who are hurting, and that you would remind them of the hope that they have and that each of us have in you to conquer death. Thank you, God, for the victory that you won for us when you rose from the grave. And may we each day find our hope and our peace and our life in the fact that you have conquered sin, death, and the devil on our behalf. Lord, it's in that heart and in that spirit that we gather tonight as we reflect this Lenten season on specifically on the death of Christ and on his sacrificial atoning work for us on the cross, as we are marching towards Holy Week, and when we will focus especially on that work that you did on the cross. Lord, I pray that you would soften our hearts to hear what you have for us from your word. I thank you for your word, and I thank you for sending your son Jesus to speak your word, to be the mouth of God. And so, Lord, I pray that we would listen. I pray that we would be convicted of sin where that is needed, and I pray, God, tonight that you would refresh us with the good news of the gospel that saves us from our sins. Lord, bless this time this evening, we pray in your name. Amen. Let's open by singing together hymn number 64, In the Cross of Christ I Glory, number 64. Our first scripture reading tonight comes from the book of John. I would ask if you are able, if you'd please stand with me as I read these verses for us out of respect for God's word. John chapter 1 in the first 18 verses. These are common verses that are read oftentimes during the Advent and Christmas season, but they are words that are very good for us throughout the year, and these are words that tell us of the power of God's word and then the power of God's word as it was made flesh and manifested in the person of Jesus Christ. John chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.' For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known." And then our second reading is a responsive reading, and it's found in your hymnal. And so I'd ask you to turn there with me to it's page number 115 towards the beginning of your hymnal there. Page 115, and the text is Deuteronomy 30, 11 through 16. Deuteronomy 30, verses 11 through 16 on page 115. And I will begin, if you will please respond by reading the words that are in bold. "For this commandment, which I command you today, is not too difficult for you, nor is it out of reach. Nor is it beyond the sea, that you should say, 'Who will cross the sea for us to get it for us, and make us hear it that we may observe it?' See, I have set before you today life and prosperity and death and adversity. Amen. The Word came near us in Jesus Christ. Then let's confess our faith, and you'll find the confession of faith in your bulletin inserts, so hopefully you got this this half sheet here. It's the second article of the Nicene Creed. We've kind of made it a habit to do the explanation of the second article of the Apostles' Creed during these Lenten services, talking specifically about the person of Jesus Christ. Tonight we're going to do something a little different. These words are very similar to the words of our sermon text in Hebrews. And so let's together say just this part of the Nicene Creed that specifically talks about Jesus. "And I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and is seated on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end." Amen. You may be seated. At this time, I will call on the ushers to wait upon us. Our offering this Lenten season during these services is going to the Perry Center here in town. And so I'll ask the ushers to come. On Megan to come at this time, and Joanna.
There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day, and there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away, wash all my sins away, wash all my sins away. And there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. Ere since by faith I saw the stream thy flowing wounds supply, redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die, and shall be till I die, and shall be till I die. Redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die.
When we decided for this Lenten service to look at the different and speak on the different body parts or the human body parts of God, I'll be honest with you. Most of the time, whenever I think of body parts and God, I've always thought of Jesus and his nail-scarred hands and the scars in his feet and his side. But I've come to realize, especially last Wednesday on our Ash Wednesday opening service, and when Pastor Micah preached on the guts of God. In fact, I even sent him a text thinking maybe he wanted to reconsider that and call it the heart of God. And I had to repent of that during the message, and that how God was moving through his called man to preach a wonderful truth. And as I was preparing for this evening, it's just God has made it so obvious that every one of the body parts of the Lord Jesus Christ, not only is he wholly human, but how every part of Christ's body has played a part in the salvation of our souls. And often during Lent, we look for Lenten season to be a time of refreshing and to focus on Jesus Christ. And may the Lord do that again for us and in us tonight. Would you please rise if you are able and join me in Hebrews chapter 1, and as it says in our bulletin. We're just going to look at the first four verses as we would consider the mouth of God. As we read in Christ's name, God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. And he is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature, and upholds all things by the word of his power. When he had made purifications of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much better than the angels as he has inherited a more excellent name than they. Lord Jesus, this is your truth. Lord, we would pray that you would separate us from every one of our earthly concerns and distractions here this evening as we would listen to the mouth of God. Lord, there are many things of us that prevent us from hearing. Besides the distractions, sometimes, Lord, there's even an unwillingness to hear. Lord, would you lay all of that bare and conquer in our hearts that which you seek to speak. In your precious name we pray. Amen. You may be seated, please. At the onset of him being tempted by the devil, in the first temptation that the devil threw out to Jesus, Jesus responded by saying in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, he says, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." And as we consider the mouth of God here this evening, it would seem to me that this statement that Jesus made to the devil is a concise summary of our greatest need and God's answer to that greatest need that humanity has. And as we think about our title here of our series, Behold the Man of God, when we are to behold the mouth of God, it's done so with our ears and our heart, and not so much with our eyes. In John chapter 4, verse 24, Jesus tells us that God has no body, and that God is spirit, and God is to be worshipped in spirit and in truth. And as we would look at the Old Testament of God speaking anatomically, we find that God doesn't have a physical human mouth, but he spoke directly from heaven, and he spoke directly to Moses, to Abraham, to Samuel, Isaiah, Jeremiah. In fact, all the way through the prophets, the minor prophets, all the way to Malachi, God has spoken directly to the prophets. And he has spoken to man in the prophets. In fact, even in the New Testament, we find God speaking directly to Peter, John, and James at the Transfiguration. In the Greek language, there's two words that deal with speaking. And one word is used that focuses more on the content of what is being said, and the second Greek word deals more with just the action of speaking. And here in Hebrews, in the first verse, it speaks about God speaking, and it's using that second word. The focus of the attention is the draws that God has spoken. He has spoken in the past, and he is speaking today. When I was much younger, back in the late 70s, I was coaching a youth hockey team in Mankato, Minnesota. And it was announced that on a certain Saturday, the hockey legend Gordie Howe, who used to play for the Detroit Red Wings, would be in town, and he was coming to the arena. And so I thought, well, I'll go. And as soon as Mr. Howe walked into the arena, just immediately he was surrounded by kids, big kids in their 40s and 50s and 60s, and little kids just starting to play hockey. And I thought, well, I'm just going to stand off to the side and just kind of observe this, because the throng of people was getting bigger and bigger. And Gordie was trying to work his way to the sheet of ice where he was going to talk and just deal with the kids and encourage them in hockey. And as he was trying to move this mass of humanity around his feet, he glanced over in the general direction where I was standing. And then all of a sudden, he veered off the walkway to the sheet of ice, and he came right over to where I was standing, and he shook my hand, and he spoke directly to me. And I can't remember really a word that Mr. Howe said, but I can remember standing there in awe and humility that Mr. Hawkey would come over just to talk to me. Friends, this is really how we should be struck when the writer of Hebrews tells us that God has spoken in the past to the fathers, in the prophets, and in these last times, God has spoken to us in His Son. There's just that sense of humility that the awesome and the majestic God would want to talk to man. Not just in the past, not just to groups of people, but God wants to talk to us individually. And He does. When we think of the mouth of God, we should think of God revealing Himself. And when we think of revelation, we should think of the Word of God. And then when we think of the Word of God, we should think inspiration. And then when it's referred here that God spoke in the prophets, it just does the soul good to think that these are not human words merely that we have recorded in Scripture, that God moved these men to speak the exact words that God wanted them to speak. And that's why we believe in the inspiration of Scripture. God has spoken in the past orally in the prophets. And He spoke to His people. And that reference to the fathers, it's the Jews of ancient times. And ever since really the creation of man, God has spoken to him. Because God wants to speak to him. God wants fellowship with man. And it's so encouraging that we had this fellowship earlier in the dining hall and had that time of just talking with each other. But there's a special fellowship that is created in the Christian community because of the cross of Calvary, and that is that we have a more deeper fellowship, and that is a fellowship around God's holy word. For those of us who have known Jesus Christ for some time, can you or do you even want to imagine what it would be like if God didn't speak to us? It'd be horrible. It'd be so lonely. And after Malachi, God didn't utter a word to His people for over 400 years. It just all fell silent. God chose to reveal Himself through the prophets with His oral word, and we have those words recorded. But as we read in our text this evening, though, that as He spoke in many portions and in many ways, even so God willed a deeper way to reveal Himself, to speak to man on a much higher plane with a much clearer message and with a pure vessel. And as the writer of Hebrews says, that He has spoken to us in His Son in these last days. The mouth that was developed in the womb of Mary is that instrument that God has used in the last days to speak to us. Not just the prophets, but to speak to us. Oh, friends, how God wants to speak to us. How God always wants conversation with his people. How he wants to speak to us through his word, and how he wants to hear us speak to him in prayer. That's the dynamic of the relationship God has created for us and wants for us through his Son, Jesus Christ, that we are a people of communication with our God who speaks to us in his word, and how true Jesus' statement is that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Every word. It says that God, through his Son, has spoken to us in the last days. You know, there's a little aside to that statement, and that is God has spoken to us in his Son, and it's in the Word. There is no more revelation of God. It has been completed in his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the epitome and the pinnacle of God speaking to man. There is no more revelation that God is going to give to man about himself, of his plan for us, of his thoughts, and of his will. It has been completed in Christ. All that we need to know about our God, all that we need to know about God's feelings towards us, all that we need to know of God's plan for us, all of that has been completed in his Son, Jesus Christ. And we have all of that recorded for us in God's holy and precious word in the New Testament. It is all here. Everything we need to know about God. That doesn't mean we don't long sometimes and wonder about this and that or some other thing about God, but everything that God desires for us to know about himself, he has revealed that through his Son, Jesus Christ. And as the writer says, he made him heir of all things. The moment that Jesus Christ was conceived in Mary's womb, he, in the person, in his humanity, gained the inheritance of all that God has. Jesus Christ is the heir of all things of God, through whom God also used as that means to create this world. This world has been created through our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the heir of all things. And as he writes on here further, he speaks in verse 3, and it says, "And he is the radiance of his glory." I don't know about you, but sometimes I fail to appreciate that and to remember that. That Jesus Christ, in being the radiance of his glory, remember Moses and his request of his desire to see and to behold the glory of God? And God basically said, "I can't do that. Because if I do, it will destroy you, that no one can behold the glory of God the Father." The invisible God, man could not behold the glory of God, and so God put him in the cleft of the rock and said, "I'll let you see my passing glory, but you cannot see me face to face." And yet only by his power and his majesty and his mercy and his grace in Jesus Christ, he is the radiance of God's glory. He is the majesty of God, the wonder of God. And what he's telling us is, if you want to see what God looks like, look at the Lord Jesus Christ. If you are wondering what God sounds like, listen to the mouth of Jesus Christ, and in him you have everything of God. In fact, it says here that he is the very substance of God, the essence of God. There is no difference between God the Father and God the Son in their essence. They are exactly the same. That's why we have this confession in the Nicene Creed that of the same substance, and that he wasn't created somewhere along the way of creation, that he was begotten of the Father. And it's so hard for the human mind to grasp that, that he is the essence of God, and yet God the Father and God the Son are two persons. There's a majesty and a little bit of a mythical sense to that, that we just can't put our infinite or our finite minds around. God in the person of Jesus Christ has come to speak to you and to speak to me. And he's done that through his Son, Jesus Christ. It says in verse 3 that he upholds all things by the word of his power. In Matthew 28, verse 18, the mouth of God says, "All authority has been given unto me on earth," or "in heaven and on earth." Jesus making the rightful claim, the resurrected Christ, of who he is. All authority has been given unto me. And then it speaks that when he made purification of sins, God was glorified at the cross. In fact, Jesus even spoke about the Father would now be glorified. And yet just hours later, on the cross of Calvary, the dying mouth of God uttered, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And much earlier in his ministry, the mouth of God said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." You see, Jesus Christ had answered his own question that would come later from the cross. The mouth of God asked, "Why have I been forsaken by God?" And God says, "I so love the world." To understand and appreciate that fully, we have to wrestle with the truth that when God speaks that we are by nature sinful, when those words come from God's mouth that we are sinners, we have to deal with the reality that it cost his Son his life to die on the cross for us. But it doesn't end there. And God wants to speak to us again tonight. Perhaps you are one who still struggles with what you must do to repay for your sin, but you still have that sense there's just got to be something I have to do. Dear one, the mouth of God has said from the cross regarding the payment of your sin, "It is finished. It is finished." If you are asking, "Does God care about my problem with sin and the impurity in my life?" This is what the mouth of God would say to you, dear friend. "Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me." Are you tired of losing your battles with temptation and the guilt of sin? The mouth of God says this to you, dear one. Come to me, all you are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest for your soul. Are you at the end of all earthly solutions to some challenge in life, and there's nowhere and nobody else to turn to? The mouth of God would say to you, what do you want me to do for you? Is Satan preying on your soul and trying to rob you of the assurance of your salvation? Is he trying to convince you it's all a hoax, even that to take away that sense of where you might even spend eternity? The mouth of God would tell you, dear one, in my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. The Bible is full of the things that the mouth of God says to the hurting sinner and to his people who need that reassurance of God's love in Christ. In fact, at the end of the Gospel of John, John says that there's more to be written in books that this world could even hold of the wonders of God in the person of Jesus Christ and God speaking to his people. But it is sufficient what we have. But I want to close tonight by reading from John chapter 17. As Jesus, the mouth of God, is speaking to God himself, God in the person of Jesus Christ is speaking to God the Father, and he says, but now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world so that they may have my joy full in them. I have given them your word. Amen. He has given us his word through the mouth of God. Let's close tonight by singing our last hymn number 200, on the back of the sheet. I'm sorry, Speak, O Lord, and you'll find the lyrics for that on the back of our bulletin. Shall we rise and sing that, please? Heavenly Father, if we are to be honest with ourselves and honest with you, there are those times when we have sinned with our mouths, and that, Lord, we have taken your name in vain. We have refused to hear your word as you seek to speak to us. We have, in a way, shunned your love. Lord, may this song that we have just sung be truly the expression of our hearts and the desire that, Lord, you would speak until your church is built. Father, may that be the prayer request in the heart and the passion of St. Paul's Free Lutheran Church. That, Lord, your church would be built in us and through us as we would serve and worship and magnify Christ in this community. And Lord, we thank you for the time that you have spent here with us this evening. Lord, we pray for humility when we have sinned against you. Lord, we pray for faith to believe the promises that have come from your mouth of the forgiveness of our sins in Christ. And Lord, we pray that you would grant us boldness to speak of this great love. And we ask this all now in your precious and holy name. Amen. Our benediction this evening comes from Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 and 21. Now the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord, equip you in every good thing to do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Go in his peace.